Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
At Dossett, Big Four, and Tupelo, we do things differently. We believe in honest, fair prices and treating our customers like family. Whether you're looking for a new or used GMC or Buick, we've got you covered. Come on down to Dossett Big Four, where you'll get a great deal without the hassle. That's Dossett Big Four in Tupelo.
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
It's Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Sunday afternoon / Monday morning, whenever you're joining us here. Thank you for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville, or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It'd be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Rough Edge.
It would be a little weird.
Wherever you are in our great state.
Rough part of town.
It is very, very, yes.
Rough Edge.
Very rough.
People that come from Rough Edge are
slightly rough
around the edge.
Around the edges, yeah.
That's what I've heard.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. If you're cooking out at home, you're looking for weeknight dinner ideas, beef can be the star of the show. So easy to cook, so versatile, so delicious. Whatever you're doing this weekend, make beef part of the menu. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner,
Every time I open the freezer, there's a
tri-tip
staring at me in the face.
This week it's
going down.
Its day will come.
It's going down this week.
Well, we're recording here on a Saturday. You got tomorrow off.
That is true.
Tri-tip and Steelers.
Well, yikes.
You might as well cheer yourself up.
I might need to eat my feelings.
Yeah. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. Southern Mississippi's losing.
Are they?
It's 30-10. You're getting killed.
Against?
Louisiana Tech. Go do it. You want me to do it? You want me to do it? Ew!
Yikes.
College Corner.
Lenny Cumbie. Is he still the coach there?
I believe he is. Yeah. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. It's whiteout week here at Mississippi State. If you don't have the white polo, the white t-shirt, a white hat, whatever it is, with the interlocking logo on it, they've got you taken care of at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flow by the Half Shell. Ring shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, Starville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is always going to be at Restaurant Tyler. If you enjoy a blue plate the way Robbie and I do, there's no other place to go in this town but Restaurant Tyler. They have the best one. I don't waste my time with second place. So you need to go check it out. The best blue plate in the city of Starkville is at Restaurant Tyler. And of course, if you are listening to us on a Sunday morning, getting ready for church, and you're thinking, what are we going to do after church? Restaurant Tyler Sunday brunch is also the best one in town. Head over to Restaurant Tyler for the best meal in town. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. You need to talk to somebody who understands you the same way they understand your money. You need to talk to the good people at Priority One Bank. The Priority One Bank make you their priority. Mississippi State, 38. Northern Illinois 10, a game that Mississippi State did not play its best. And yet, if you didn't watch the game and just saw the score, you would assume they played pretty darn well. And of course, now Mississippi State 4-0 on the season. We all know what that means leading into next week. Let's get the best recap available of this game. Nobody else is going to be able to touch this one. Tell them, Falk! Oh.
Well, I was a little concerned in the first half if that was not going to turn out very well.
Well
was not going to turn out well.
I think everybody was having those Toledo flashbacks.
I was thinking there might be a well or something like that, but we made it through it. I gave you a nice hearty well.
Yeah.
And let's talk about the game. I thought that the totality of the game, which is how you have to break down this game, was very similar to me to Southern Miss. Mississippi State played poorly in the first half. It was, for the most part, self-inflicted wounds, penalties, missing big shots down the field, Blake Shapen not tackling extremely well. You let Northern Illinois get a little bit of the momentum early on in the game. A lot of that, I think, is for the first time in the Jeff Lebby era, they don't take the ball first. Northern Illinois wins the toss, and they receive.
The first time I thought about that, but that I bet that did throw – you know Lebby's over there going, all right, we'll be on offense, and then he's like, what?
Well, it's been 7-0
Yeah.
Immediately
every game. This year. Yeah.
You know, and so the first three games they scored touchdowns first every time. This one they'd score a touchdown in the opening possession as well.
But they were already down 3-0.
Yeah. So I think State was just this is the way that this game played out in the first half was exactly what I said could happen but didn't need to happen. And especially, you know, for this game, a team that if you don't play really well, you could end up losing to them. They've shown that before. So you're up 14-10 at the half, and, you know, the crowd is starting to go back to the tailgate and starting to go home. I've seen that before. And, by the way, don't blame you at all. It was 150 degrees in the sun, and
yeah.
I don't blame you. But it looked like out of the halftime.
I had somebody on Twitter, I said, this is like not much of a crowd left. That's understandable, blah, blah, blah. And this, why? Like, really?
That person probably sitting at home.
Yeah, not even at the game.
So, you know, to me, it felt like, uh-oh, it's 14-10. Northern Illinois has some momentum. The atmosphere is not going to be very good in the second half. What Mississippi State did in the second half continues to reassure me that this locker room, this team is in really good shape. We can talk about the things that they're not doing well right now, and those are glaring concerns that will get you beat in the SEC. We're going to talk about that, I'm sure. You know, the rush defense is not on par where it needs to be for SEC play. The offensive line is not where it needs to be. Blake Shapen didn't play well. Penalties are a big problem. But at the end of the day, for Mississippi State to come out in an atmosphere that was dwindling, you weren't playing very well, you come out of the locker room and you win the second half 24-0, that tells me everything I need to know about the culture of this team, how they handle adversity, things like that. So that is a very good development for Mississippi State. This game could have gone south. The second half being what it was, which was exactly like what we saw against Southern Miss, but even more so, State was even more dominant, I thought, in the second half than they were against Southern Miss. That's a great thing. And at the end of the day, Mississippi State is 4-0 for the first time since 2014. We talked about it all week. 8 times in school history this has been done. Kind of a sad stat, but it's still a big deal. 4-0, you win all your non-conference games. This was obviously best-case scenario for Mississippi State coming into the season. They've accomplished that. They've accomplished every bit of their first goal, and that was to win all of their non-conference games. And now you're sitting here, you go into SEC play, and you have a chance to go bowl eligible. You're not asking this team to go to the playoffs. I think that's a completely unrealistic ask. Jeff Lebby, go get the playoffs after you went 2-10.
Right.
I don't think that's reasonable.
Nobody reasonable is asking that
question. No. But I think it's reasonable to say that this team could go to a bowl game. And I think you and I both agreed preseason that if they were 4-0, they were going to be in really good position to go to a bowl game. So now that is the question. Where does Mississippi State get those two wins or more? Next week is obviously a massive ball game. I don't think – I already saw some people after the Georgia game saying that Tennessee was going to beat the brakes off of Mississippi State. And people in this fan base, after going 3-0, people were saying that. Some people were expecting that game to be a blowout. I don't think Tennessee is an unbeatable team. I think State playing at home – you looked at me during the game tonight, and you said, I'm a little concerned with what I'm seeing. And my response to you was, I'm not really going to judge next week based on what we see this week if State wins this game. Because I really felt like what we were seeing was a bit of a look ahead for Mississippi State. So strap on the helmets, put the ball down. Let's see what happens next week. I think it's going to be an incredible atmosphere.
Yeah.
Let's see. I mean, Joey Aguilar has not been in an atmosphere like that before. Let's see what it looks like.
There we go. Good stuff. Yeah. Midway through the first quarter, I was feeling a well from you, but yeah, we got through it. We got through it.
It was going through my mind many times.
Yeah. Time to talk about some things that are true. The things that are true are brought to you by the good people over at Bell Building Supply. Robbie was kind enough to allow us to record on a Saturday. So that means I got some free time tomorrow. Maybe time to fire up my big green egg. And that could be you as well with a trip to Bell Building Supply, the Golden Triangle's platinum big green egg dealer. And not just the big green egg there, but all of the accessories, everything that you need to make your cookout the best cookout, they've got it at Bell Building Supply. Of course, it's also a building supply store. So for, you know, hardware and paint and things that you need around the house, they've got you covered for that as well. But the big green egg is the star of the show. Go see my friend Wes today and tell him you heard about it on Thunder and Lightning. You want to put a big green egg in your backyard, they can do it with Bell Building Supply. I got seven things that are true for us today. Number one, you can't be any better after four games than 4-0. And it's important to remember that. Right. No matter what you say about Mississippi State, no matter what you think, no matter what worries you have about the future, whatever is lingering with you from the past, they're 4-0 after four games, and that's as good as it can possibly be. So, you know, keep that in mind with anything you think about this week and anything you think about this team. They're 4-0. And I'll be honest with you, I did not have them 4-0 at this point in the season in my preseason projection. I'm already off the mark there. I just feel like, you know, people want to downplay. Well, you know, Arizona State's probably not that good. I haven't checked in on their score. You know, and Southern Mississippi's not any good, and this, that, and the other. Don't do that. 4-0 is 4-0.
And over Baylor right now.
They're winning. Quarter. Okay. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Need them to keep winning.
Yeah, want them to keep winning. Number two. The most encouraging thing I took from today is that State covered a 21.5-point spread while playing a C-plus game at best. What is something we say all the time on this show, right? When you're a good team and you play a bad team, you should beat them badly. And State did that. They won by 28 points.
And did not play well.
Did not play anywhere near as good. I mean, if they had played as well as they played against Alcorn, they might have won by a similar score. I think I said last week that State is giving up 267 yards per game right now. That is exactly what they gave up today, 267 and 10 points. I mean, it wasn't the defense's best day, but 10 points and under 300 yards, I can't argue too much. It wasn't the offense's best day, but they put up 38 points and over almost 500 yards of offense. You know, what am I supposed to not like? So for me, this was, you know, you just have to be encouraged by the fact that, hey, they didn't play good. They didn't play anywhere near their best. They might have actually played a bad game. And they still easily covered a large spread. That's what good teams do. Good teams go out there and they, even when they're not at their best, they still dominate lesser opponents. That's a good thing for Mississippi State.
State is 3-0 against the spread.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason they're not 4-0 is because there's no spread on the FBS.
They would not have been a 64.5-point favorite, I don't think, against Alcorn.
Right. So, yeah, you're exactly right. I think it's important to note that this team has, like I said, a lot of flaws, and they just continue to find ways to win big. I mean, Arizona State game notwithstanding.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a game, had State played a little better and finished this first half in a better situation than it did there,
mm-hmm.
that might have been a blowout. I don't know. I don't know what that looks like if State is up 20-0 at the half or 17-0 at the half. That might be a completely different game.
Yeah.
So I think that – and what we have to continue to remember here is when we're talking about the defense, it's nowhere near perfect, but – when you consider where it was last year when it was having trouble getting off the field against, you know,
everybody,
UMass, Toledo.
Everybody they
another
played.
MAC team.
Everybody they played.
They were having trouble getting off the field. Now they gave up one touchdown in this game.
Mm-hmm.
They gave up 0 points against Alcorn. They gave up a couple of touchdowns against Arizona State,
yeah.
which is a Power Four team.
Mm-hmm.
Southern Miss, they gave up a freak touchdown and then one late in the ball game. This defense, with its flaws and the fact that there's some question marks with the running game and things like that, they just keep finding ways to get off the field.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the ultimate goal, is it not? To yeah. hold the other team to fewer points than what you have. So far, this scoring defense is actually one of the better defenses in the SEC. And I know the stats are going to be a little skewed right now because mm-hmm. they've played nobody from the SEC. But I think we've seen enough that we know that this is going to be a much more competitive defense.
Well, just
in the
look
SEC.
At it like this. Four non-conference games last year, right? They weren't all in the first four games, but they played four non-conference games. They gave up 7 to Eastern Kentucky. So this year against the FCS team, they give up 0. They gave up 30 last year, although 7 of it was on defense. But they gave up, 23. This year it's 20 to Arizona State. Against Toledo, they gave up 41. This year against a MAC team, it's 10. And then if you want to, Southern Mississippi is a much better program than UMass, but they gave up 17. And really, the last touchdown is meaningless.
And the other touchdown should have been picked off.
Right. And then the other one, what was it, 20? They gave up to UMass last year? Final score was 45-20.
Oh.
So
that was
they were down 10-0 at the end of the first quarter. Remember that game? So just there every possible tangible marker for improvement, you've got it with this Mississippi State defense. There's no doubt about that. All right, number three. Got
to stay healthy.
You talked about some of the things that State's lacking, right? They're just not strong enough on the defensive and offensive lines to be a real contender. Like with what they have at the skill positions and what they have sometimes, and crazily enough, in the secondary, if they were just better up front on both sides of the ball, this could be a really interesting team. They just are lacking a couple of things there. Whitson going down, obviously hurt. Jimothy Lewis, I don't think played today. I think I'm gonna assume that's precautionary. Did he play?
Jimothy Lewis?
Did he play? I know he didn't start.
Yeah, he played.
He played. Okay.
Yeah, I'm almost positive.
I kind of wish he would just lock down that left tackle. He hasn't done it yet.
The offensive line is a concern. They've passed protected fairly well mm-hmm. pretty much all year. The run blocking is not great. It got better as the day went on. I thought a lot of it was Fluff Bothwell and some guys that they just did a really good job moving the chains. And also the defense, the way the defense was set up from Northern Illinois with mm-hmm. Three down linemen. They added more safeties in the defensive backfield to try to prevent the big plays. Mm-hmm. And so they were playing more to defend the pass. So, I don't know what to take away from it.
The State wasn't able to run the ball as effectively as you would like at times. So,
they had 300 yards rushing.
They did,
basically.
But from watching the game that they struggled in the first half to run the football at times. What I would say is, first off, what Levy had to say about Northern Illinois was spot on. That is a very physical football team. Defensively, they are very tough. I'm not going to try to make a prediction about the rest of their season, but they played pretty well. If they had not been playing an SEC team today, they might have had a chance.
Yeah.
But as it was, the talent gap was just too big. Number four, if I had a skill position need I need to put out for Mississippi State, they got to get the third receiver. Right, Thompson and Evans are good, solid. Not gonna have any issues there. Who is the third guy? Who's the third man, Robbie? Jordan Mosley was overthrown a couple times. He could have had a monster day if Chapin could have found him. Chapin didn't play great today. There's no getting around that. Aiden Williams had a catch, but I don't know what's gonna happen with him. Sadie Traore finally had a catch, but he had one catch for 1 yard. It was for a touchdown, but that in the last he had five catches for 58 yards and a touchdown against Southern Mississippi, and now he's had one catch in the three games since then. Got to find more of him in this passing game. State has got to find somebody else to go with Evans and Thompson.
Yeah, and I'm just wondering if that's going to happen. And I mean, you look at this offense in the past, you have usually the one guy that is far and away ahead of everyone else in receptions, and then it's kind of like watered down from there.
Mm-hmm.
So will we see somebody that's truly like a third guy, or is it just going to pop up from time to time? I think it's going to be Anthony Evans and then a little bit of a drop off, Brennan Thompson, and then it's just going to be a bunch of guys.
Could be like 70 for Evans and 45 for Thompson.
Yeah.
And then somebody with like 20.
I think we've talked about that a lot. We've played that up. I don't think there has to be a surefire like number three guy. When you get to that, it just has to be you have to have other pieces that could come through for you. I don't think it has to be a solidified there's number three guy. But I don't know if it was you or somebody asked Blake Shapen about that last week at the press conference, and he said he felt like it was Jordan Mosley.
Yeah.
And Jordan Mosley has become a better deep ball receiver. That he had the opportunity for two big plays today. He was overshot on one of them, but he came through with a 45-yarder. But I think it's going to be the bulk of the targets going to Anthony Evans. Brennan Thompson's going to get his share of them behind him. And then I think it's just going to be, you know, say Traore,
different guy,
Mosley, running backs.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see. But I think first and foremost, the running game has got to be more similar to what we saw on Saturday, where they're picking up 5 to 6 yards a carry, and that's going to open up so much more. There were plenty of plays to be made on the deep ball tonight. Blake Shapen had, I'm going to say, 5 passes that he missed on the deep ball.
Yeah.
He could have thrown for 300.
Easily. And Jordan Mosley could have had like 4 catches for 150 yards.
And that's what the running game does for you. Whenever you have a running game where you have 11 yards of rush for Xavier Gayton, Fluff had 6 yards of carry, Davon Booth didn't really get he had several calls back.
He had a couple of long runs called back. Yeah.
And that's another thing. That it's very hard for this offense to get its rhythm when the offensive line is out of sync the way this line has been at times early on the season. 11 penalties today. I would venture to say over half of those came from the offensive line.
Easily.
And included in that is a holding from Sam West, the tight end, which is an extension of the offensive line. It continues to be an issue for this team. And, you know, Lebby has belabored that point over and over. Here we go. Illegal formation, holding. So you have, out of the 6 penalties that were accepted, you have an illegal formation, which I don't know if that was the offensive line or not, but and then 3 holding penalties. And those are all from the offensive line. Luke Work had 1 or 2, and Sam West had that one. They've got to clean that up. And Lebby has talked about that. That has to be completely eliminated. It can't just be like around a little bit. Mm-hmm. They have to knock it out completely.
Yeah.
That and 3 and outs is what he talked about have got to be completely eliminated from their game. So that continues to be something that, you know, we're going to watch. I thought the offensive line last year got better as the year went on.
That's the kind of thing I was talking about on the postgame show with Booth, too. Like, remember, first 4 games last year, Booth was not good.
Yep.
And then he really started picking up. I wonder if something like that's about to start happening. We'll see, you know, starting, I guess, this weekend. All right, number 5? Yeah. 3rd and 1. That's Taylor time. Every time.
Tool time. We're just going to call it tool time.
I mean, we might. I'm just saying that there's no point. There's no point in worrying about redshirting. If he can help you win games, just play him.
Throw that out the window.
But he's got to be – you got to use him the way they use Tebow. And I promise you, enough times you run him up the middle, eventually a pass is going to be there for a big play that could be a difference maker. Kamario Taylor, 3rd and 1, 4th and 1. I just want to see. Yeah, it doesn't have to be every time, I guess, because sometimes you might want to take a shot here and there. It just depends. But
and you want to keep the defense guessing. You don't want them to right. know this is what you're going to run.
You
man.
Know, but you got to
know that might still work.
I don't know that Lebby would ever go under center, but man, some sort of tush push with Kamario Taylor going to be. I mean, it's already impossible. The fourth and shorty where they brought him in, they could have had all 11 guys on the line.
Barreled his way.
Yeah, it's just not even close. The way State used Dak his first year, the way they used Tebow, this is what you've got to do with this guy. He can help you win. There's going to come a fourth and one that's going to be a difference in the game. You're going to need Kamario Taylor.
And listen, I told you this after he got that first down. This doesn't have to be a quarterback controversy.
Right. No, it's not at all.
You're trying to win ball games. Blake Chapin's your quarterback. I don't care what some of you are saying on Twitter whenever things are going bad and you go straight to Blake Chapin's trash. We need to get Kamario in there. Guys, that's not going to happen. Blake Chapin is going to be the quarterback until he's not. If he gets hurt or something, God forbid, then he won't be the quarterback anymore. But if he's healthy, he is this team's quarterback. They are not going to change their position on him. But Kamario Taylor has got to be part of your game plan because he does something that nobody else on the roster can do. Mm-hmm. And Blake Chapin can't run the read option like he can run the read option. There's a different dynamic when he comes in the ball game, and that's fine. Blake Chapin is the guy that Mississippi State needs right now to lead this team. I don't think it's Kamario's time just yet.
Agreed.
Let him simmer a little bit, but you can still utilize his skill set. When he's running the football, he just looks different. He had 3 carries in this game for 26 yards. He's not getting stopped behind the line of scrimmage. He's charging forward every time, and he's got a little bit of acceleration too when he gets on that edge. You just got to use him a little.
You got to find some ways to use him.
And let him throw the ball a little bit too. He's perfectly capable of doing that too. But State can do so many different things. Even Blake talked about this earlier this week when talking about Kamario. When he comes in, everybody's watching him on the opposing defense.
Right.
They are keeping an eye on him. You can use him as a decoy. You can use him in the run game as an extension of your run game. I would run read option with him. I wouldn't keep it every single time because you want to be able to hold a defense, you know, keep them back a little bit instead of them knowing exactly what you're going to run, even though, like I said, it still might not work for them. But they've got to utilize him in some form or fashion.
Number 6. You sort of hit on this a minute ago. Joey Aguilar has never been in an environment like he's going to walk into next week. It just never. I mean, he played at App State. He's never gone into a stadium that's going to be as violently against him as he's going to be in next week. If State's going to win that game, that is the crowd is going to play a massive role. I will not be surprised on Monday when we talk to Lebby if he is not talking through us to his fans about how important they are going to be this weekend.
Oh, there will be a giant push for that.
Yeah.
And it will be every bit as hostile as it was against Arizona State. Now, how long will that last is up to Mississippi State. Tennessee can take the crowd out of it, at least a good portion of it.
Mm-hmm.
Or this fan base could be in this game to the very end like they were against Arizona State. It could be an incredible atmosphere for 4 quarters. And State, that could be the difference in the ball game. I thought it was the difference in the Arizona State game. I don't think State wins that game without the crowd being as rabid as it was. And there's a difference between just a loud, you know, clanging cowbell crowd in Starkville and one that is motivated. And you can tell the ones that are motivated. We've been there for those games. Auburn 2014, Alabama 2017, you know, an Egg Bowl in 2013, I think they kind of wheeled Mississippi State to that one.
Mm-hmm.
Arizona State, those games are different. They feel different. When the crowd is motivated and they have they're kind of trying to will this team to a victory, top to bottom, you see people with 2 bells in their hands, like just blisters.
We need people with the double bells. We need 2 double bells. We need 4 bells.
Yes. Can we get the Darth Maul lightsaber?
Yeah.
But it's a cowbell.
It's cowbells, yeah.
But yeah, this is interesting to see how Aguilar is an older player, so I think that plays a factor for him. He's experienced, at least he's experienced road games out there. But this is a guy that a couple years ago was playing junior college football, mm-hmm. you know, so it is – this is a whole different game,
and they haven't been on the road yet. This year.
I do think it's going to play a factor, but we'll see how much of a factor it plays. But I do think that the fan base will make this a very loud, very hostile environment. It's going to be a fun environment.
Well, you just sort of took something from me there on my last one, number seven. Football is supposed to be fun. Let's have fun this week, all right? Mississippi State is 4-0. No matter what, they've been better than almost everybody thought they were going to be to this point. They're going to play. I mean, I don't know if they're going to be ranked or not. I looked it up thanks to ChatGPT. 2013 Missouri was 4-0 and not ranked. That's the last time it happened. So it's been 12 years since there's been a 4-0 Mississippi or 4-0 SEC team. With South Carolina looking like they're going to lose, so, I mean, some of their votes can go to Mississippi State. Auburn lost. Maybe some of their votes go to Mississippi State. Maybe State will be ranked or not, but this is a massive, massive game. Let's enjoy this week a little bit. And I feel like we last year was so hard and so tough for everybody just to get through the grind of everything. Maybe this week it's just a little bit more enjoyable. So remember that this week as you're going through it. All right, let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at what's the matter?
You know, sometimes somebody pops up in your mentions and you're like, what is happening? Where does this come from?
Yeah, happens all the time.
That just happened to me.
Well, let me...
And I have absolutely...
You gotta make me look.
No clue.
You gotta make me look.
I don't think this guy's a bot. But maybe he is. I don't know.
That's not it. Oh, I see what you're looking at.
What are we doing here? What's happening?
He's verified. He's from Mississippi.
I make a tweet about Zachary Tillman's mom being honored on Salute to Service, and this guy tweets, "Hitler never said make Germany great again," or half the other BS. Show me proof. What are we? What
did
what?
You quote tweet this?
Yes. Okay. Said, what?
What? Yeah, okay.
What are we doing?
I don't know. I don't know. Let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over
this
at...
It's like the dude abides.
Yeah.
Where the guy's just like, you know, Jeff Bridges. It was Jeff Bridges.
Yes.
Just sitting there blinking like, what am I watching? Yeah.
I'm the dude.
Oh, boy.
Two Brothers Smoke Meats in the heart of the Cotton District. And, of course, the older brother. Two fantastic restaurants right there on top of each other in the Cotton District. We were at Two Brothers earlier. I shouldn't say earlier this week because it's Monday, but last week we had a great meal at Two Brothers, and there's nothing new about that. Whenever we go to Two Brothers, we have a great meal. If you want to enjoy a fantastic meal, if you're going to be in Starkville this upcoming weekend for Mississippi State versus Tennessee, I suggest you make a trip to Two Brothers. I'm just watching the Missouri game, and this guy just did a dive that would have made Shawn Michaels proud. I mean, he's like
Shawn Michaels versus Hulk Hogan.
I mean, yes, it's like that. Like he's running near the ball carrier. A guy touches him, and he literally went
like the Ole Miss defensive lineman.
Worse. That one was worse. What I just saw was worse. Unbelievable. Great product.
God, Indiana's up 49-10.
I'm really tempted to put Illinois in this next segment, but I got another one.
Poor Luke.
Yeah. Wow. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years.
50, brother.
New
Oklahoma State coach, Houston Nutt.
They need to do something. When you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. And then if something goes wrong, you already know who to talk to. You've already got that relationship. You know the people there, and it's not a 1-800 number. It's not a call center. It's the same guy who made you the sale, and he's going to be able to get your problem solved. A lot of times, the exact same day, because they're in Mississippi just like you. 601-362-9192, or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. The replies you're getting are making me laugh. Maroon & Co. is the place to go. If you are looking for Mississippi State gear and start, well, nobody with a bigger or better selection than our friends at Maroon & Co. You messed up my thing. What did you do?
I think you moved.
I didn't do anything. My OCD is taking over. Okay, that'll work. If you are looking for Mississippi State gear in Starkville, the best selection is at Maroon & Co. Everything maroon and white, and if, especially white this week. If you are lacking a shirt for this whiteout, make sure you head by Maroon & Co. to pick one up. Use our promo code THUNDER15 to save 15% off regular price. Some exclusions may apply. Before you go to the game, before you go to Davis-Wade Stadium, make sure you go to Maroon & Co. I will be at Scruggs this week on Thursday, so please come by and say hello. And while you're there, get yourself ready for the weekend by making the purchase of whatever you need. Do you need something for your lawn? I mean, it could be something really simple or something really complicated. Do you need a big mower? Great deals, great financing available on all John Deere mowers at Scruggs. You need something for around the house in terms of power tools? You got some home repair projects? Maybe you just want a new grill. Guess what? Scruggs has got you covered. Their slogan is, we have what you want for less. They really do mean it. If you are looking for literally anything to help yourself around the house, go see Scruggs in Saltillo, Mississippi. Robbie, this was State's 4-0, and that's very important to remember. Let's talk about something else that's important.
Let's talk about something important. Put that coffee down. Coffee's for closers only.
Coffee is for closers, brought to you by Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream, where apparently they got a new flavor, a pumpkin cookie butter. That
Shane told us this is what we've been asking for. It is indeed not.
I don't know what's going on, but we think
I'm sure there are plenty of basic white girls out there that would love to eat this.
Man,
the
harsh.
Pumpkin cookie butter
was harsh.
Ice cream. I'm just being honest.
It was just harsh, though. It was. All right.
I'm just saying. I mean,
well, we'll be harsh here as well. This is coffee is for closers. For Mississippi State, I'm going to go special teams. Not great today. Kickoff out of bounds. Nathan Tice needs to be out of this punt competition. Had a penalty on a punt. Just not a great day. Kyle Ferry still solid. I mean, what did he kick from 47 today? Good from much deeper. I mean, he's having a great year.
Yeah.
But special teams today were not sharp, among other things.
Punted the ball out of bounds. Shanked 21-yard punt.
That was awful.
Kickoff out of bounds, delay a game.
Mm-hmm.
The first half was just terrible. Ethan Pulliam is your punter. That should be. There is no reason.
No reason to continue
that you could give me if you're Cliff Odom or whoever, Jeff Lebby. There's no reason that you could give me so far that this should still be a two punter situation. There's nothing. Ethan Pulliam's clearly been the better punter. Maybe there's something that they think they have an edge on, but having the Australian like style punt out of your own end zone was kind of strange to me. Like, aren't you trying to boom it as far as you can get it at that stage?
Yeah, you would.
Why not get the bigger leg? So, Ethan Pulliam to me, I think, is clearly Mississippi State's guy at the punt position, and now he'll come out on Saturday after I've said that, and he'll shank a punt or two.
Probably so.
I doubt it. I've watched a lot of punts from Ethan Pulliam. I don't think I've ever seen a just like straight shank. But,
we'll see what happens.
I've been wrong before.
All right. Around the SEC, I mean, Florida's going to lose again, it looks like, but we'll see what happens there.
Is it 13-7?
Yeah. This is pretty easy, though. What are you doing, Arkansas?
Ooh.
What happened? Look, last week you lose on a fumble. You played Ole Miss at Ole Miss. I get it. Ole Miss is a good team, right? You're up 28-10 at the half on Memphis. You were up 31-20 going into the fourth quarter. You blew it. And now,
you blew it.
Of all the hot seats, none hotter than the extra large Barker lounger that Sam Pittman sits in. He might be gone. You know who they play Saturday, right?
Who do they play?
Notre Dame.
Eh.
Here's Arkansas. Arkansas now sitting at 2-2. Here's the rest of their schedule. Okay, Notre Dame. Bye week.
Mm-hmm.
At Tennessee, Texas A&M, Auburn, Mississippi State, at LSU, at Texas, Missouri.
Mm. Oh, that is exactly why I had State winning that game preseason.
Because I did
too. Felt like eventually it's going to – but here's the thing. You know what's going to happen.
What?
Sam Pittman's going to get fired. And Mr. Katrina? Motorcycle, Mr. Harley Davidson, is going to walk out in the neck brace on his Harley, riding out of the tunnel,
mm-hmm.
and they are going to get a new jolt of life.
You think?
Yeah. But I don't think anything can fix their defense. Their defense is really
defense
bad.
Is bad.
Now, their offense, I like their offense. Mm-hmm.
It's good.
I think Talon Green has been really good.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I don't really know what to expect from them. The culture there under Sam Pittman has just not been great. They find ways to lose games a lot.
And when you
last 2 weeks they've lost games that they should have won.
They should be 4-0.
Fumbling the football in
they
the red
be 4-0.
Zone.
4-0. Yeah.
Today was inexcusable.
Yeah.
That
no excuse.
All they had to do is run the clock out and kick a field goal.
They got a knee.
Yeah.
And yeah, but.
Yeah, anyway. that was just an insane insane loss.
We got a suggestion for the national one, but we used Oklahoma State last week. We got a lot of national teams that suck, like teams that shouldn't be this bad that are this bad.
Yeah,
Clemson could be on this list.
What happened to Oklahoma State?
It's the craziest, and they should be on top of the world. They're like, hold on, the two teams that we could never beat are suddenly gone. We're going to win this conference every year, and they're not. I definitely want to mention Clemson. Illinois has taken a beating today.
Mm.
You could make a case for Oregon State and Washington State. These were good programs, and now they're just done. They're done. They got murdered by their rivals today.
It was sad. It was really sad to see them get left behind by the other Pac-12 teams.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they were decimated.
UCLA is wishing they had stayed. But going to go with, let's get some fresh meat in here. Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I really thought Luke Fickell was going to be a big time coach for them. He's going to get fired. He's going to get fired.
Like a really good hire, man.
Yeah.
Maryland. Maryland beat Northern Illinois by 11.
By 11, yes.
So, and didn't even rush for 100 yards, by the way. I don't know what's happened at Wisconsin. That should have been a fantastic hire.
Yeah.
But it's just not working. This new era of college football, it's really kind of muddied the waters on teams that traditionally were pretty powerful,
mm-hmm.
and some teams like Texas Tech is about to become a force. The money they're spending.
They are spending money, and they're going to start winning football games.
They're
it's
going
a direct
to have
correlation.
They've got a chance to have the number one recruiting class in the country. Mm-hmm. Their transfer portal class this past year was probably the best in the country.
Mm-hmm.
It's really crazy how the hierarchy is like kind of shifting. I think you'll see a lot of the same.
Well, I mean, you think about it here in the SEC with Ole Miss.
Yeah.
They've become, I mean, so we talked about this on
Sports Talk. At the very least, they're going to consistently be an 8-win team.
Touchdown.
Bye.
Arizona State, they are back on top.
Shane just tweeted that
he tweeted that and they completed a 60-yard pass and then they scored. Here's like, we were talking about this on Sports Talk. They had a graphic that went out, the best teams that have the best record overall over the last 30 games.
Mm-hmm.
Ole Miss is like fifth. They're 24-6 in their last 30. The portal revitalized them.
Yeah.
That and Kiffin. But Kiffin came in and was like, let's use the portal. So, yeah. Wisconsin. No coffee. No coffee with your cheese curds up in Wisconsin. All right. Tomorrow's show, or I guess Monday's show. I like cheese curds. We'll talk about Levy's press conference, whatever he's got to say after that. We'll talk about the rankings, if anything comes out from that. And, of course, our SEC picks were still even. No, we had no differences this week, correct? We did not.
I don't believe
we did not. So maybe I guarantee with the slate of action we have this week, we're going to have at least one.
It's going to be hard to believe we wouldn't.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. All right, guys. Have a great weekend. Talk to you tomorrow. For Robbie Ball, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.